Blog Talk Radio.
This is Zito.
Oh,
how's
Zito,
going,
how you
Frankie?
Doing? Good. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well.
Good, yeah. Ty hasn't called in yet, but I'm sure we'll get him at some point.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
So how's everything in the great state of Delaware?
Actually, it's warmer. We've had temperatures of the upper 50s today. A little wind.
Really?
But I mean, you know, yeah, compared to, oh, my goodness, these past few months, it feels real good.
Yeah, it's been some bad months for you guys, I hear.
Oh, goodness, yes.
A lot of snow.
Oh, yeah. Oh. All snow.
Well, we're
going
to be joined later. I'm sorry, what was that?
Oh, no, I'm listening.
We're going to be joined later by Chris Panarello is going to come on in a little bit. The new Sugar Ray Robinson is going to be on, and then we're going to have Joey Tiberi as well.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yep.
And those two guys are coming off of pretty good wins.
They are. Yeah. Yeah. It's and you know, there's a lot of boxing going on too. You know, there's been some really good fights lately.
Oh, yeah. And tonight is going to be a doozy between Alfredo Angulo and Saul Canelo Alvarez.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And
that you know, that's going to be just a war, I think.
Yeah. And for Canelo's sake, I hope, you know, the less war it is, the better it is for Canelo.
If you had it just off the cuff, who are you picking?
I think Canelo. Ty and I have been talking throughout these few weeks, and I think Canelo's going to have to I think Canelo's going to win by a late stoppage, and I think he's going to have to stop Angulo, because Angulo doesn't stop unless you make him stop.
True.
And yeah, he has his three losses are one to Kermit Cintron, where he was sick. He had the flu. You could tell in his previous and fights afterward. Second loss was to James Kirkland, which was a total war. And then Angulo, in the first round, put Kirkland down hard and hurt him. But he spent a lot of his energy throwing, trying to get Kirkland out of there. So by round, later round two, he had nothing left, and Kirkland went to work. And I think he took him out in four or five, took Angulo out. And his most recent loss was to Arislande Lora, where Angulo looked good. He looked better than any of his previous fights to me. And
right.
he was able to touch on Arislande with some hard shots, especially the left hook to the body. And Arislande being a slick fighter, that impressed me. But and Lora ended up stopping him, they say, due to injury. He hit Angulo with a left to his eye bone, and it seemed to almost shift his eye bone. And Angulo he turned his back and said no more. Went to the corner, and you could see his bone actually protruding from over his eye. So, that's understandable. Yes. In that fight, he knocked Lora down twice. And I actually had it a tie going into the round where he stopped the Angulo. But,
you're talking about Canelo Alvarez, who, he's not a strong puncher. He does have quick hands, but, he's not going to put you down. And his last fight really showed I think the key for Angulo, if he's going to win this fight, if he's going to have to channel Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather put on a absolutely masterful fight when he fought Alvarez. Floyd Mayweather was quicker. He was smarter. He had he could take a long view of the fight, which not a lot of fighters are able to do. Arguably, some of the best fighters ever are able to tell you what your next three punches are just by the way you move, which I think Floyd Mayweather is one of those guys. But, if Angulo can, slow him down at all, does he have a shot?
Well, Angulo, he's one thing he's not going to do. He's not going to be able to challenge Floyd. He's not going to be able to challenge Floyd's mastery in the ring.
Right.
Canelo never, ever seen, nobody really has ever seen a fighter like Floyd when they get in the ring. It's one thing to say, I could do this to Floyd, I could do that. But then when you get in the ring and you see his reflexes along with his conditioning, that's just hard to deal with. And now, Angulo has none of that. He has none of that whatsoever.
Yeah.
He's a straightforward fighter, and if there was a moving train 100 miles away from him, somehow it would still hit him because he doesn't seem to avoid punches. But he could take them. He could definitely take a punch. Canelo, he hits hard. He hits pretty hard once he gets there with his confidence. He tends to wait a little bit and see and watch openings. He's not going to be able to do it in this fight. And he couldn't do it in the fight with Floyd, because if you're patient with Floyd, you can't pose with Floyd. Floyd's going to pick you apart, as we've seen. Angulo's not going to let you pose. It's from the opening bell, he's going to be on you like El Perro, the dog. And his boxing has gotten better, so he can definitely get inside on Canelo. The only thing I would say is Canelo does hit really hard to the body. He commits to the body, and to a point, I think that's what you need to do to slow Angulo down. just from getting him off of you. Yeah, but Canelo's hands are quick. You're absolutely right. His hands are quick. I think that's going to be an advantage. His feet are not quick. He doesn't box off the back foot often at all. You've seen it a little bit against Austin Trout, but he was more backpedaling, taking baby steps back, trying to get his space set himself up. He's going to have to beat Angulo off of him. And I think he will. I think he's going to beat Angulo until Angulo has to get off him, and eventually he's going to stop him.
Well, I mean, if Angulo is going to fight like the way he did against Kirkland and Lara, that's going to be one hell of a battle. I mean, I think he's got a chance to win if he can fight like that. I mean, those two fights, although they were, you know, they were kind of below the radar, they were really good, masterful fights by, you know, a 23-year-old kid.
And Canelo, he's going to have his troubles. He's going to have – he's not – as I say, him himself is not the most defensive fighter either. He doesn't avoid punches a lot. He can
right.
slip a little bit, but he looks for his opening. He thinks a lot about offense. So within that transition, he'll get hit. To where Angulo does just – as his trainer, Virgil Hunter, said, his defense is his offense. That's Angulo. He's not going to – he might put his hands over his face, but he's not going to really make a meaningful attempt to block because he wants you to open up so he can hit you.
Right. Well, it should be a good fight. I mean, it's no one's saying it's going to be a pushover. I think this might be a fight that's going to go the distance.
And if it does, both men are going to be tougher than I think. Just because this is going to be a brutal fight. Just the style match up to where they both get hit. They both get hit, and they both can deliver punishment. So I just think Canelo's just a little sharper, and that's going to be, you know, it's the knife compared to the hammer. Just think the knife's going to get there first and more often.
Yeah, and I think that I think you're right. I mean, I think he's sharper. I think he's quicker. You know, and I think that if he's going to beat him, it's going to be with an abundance of punishment. Because he doesn't have that knockout power.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I think he has the knockout power, but, and as you say, in more accumulation. Like, if he gets a good combination off on you, then you're in trouble. But I think he commits more to the body. And you can and some of his shots to the head, you could telegraph. So I think if he gets to Angulo's body, that will help him out tremendously.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw the plight of Molina. Have you happened to catch that at all, Carlos Molina?
Yes, I've heard about it. I'm not sure if he's out of jail yet.
From what I
know,
he's still in.
Oh, well, then his fight with Charlo's off. That's definitely off. But, Molina, he had legal trouble in Texas, if I'm correct. Wisconsin. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
In Wisconsin. I'm not sure if this was the exact charge. Maybe it was unlawful touching of a minor or something like that. But that came up now, and he had to get that straightened out. And then he had trouble with his immigration.
Right.
Yeah, and just as one Alfredo Angulo had to go through, Angulo had problems with his immigration, and he was put in a detention center. They told him for 3 days. He ended up staying for 8 months. So,
right.
And Molina,
yeah.
at this moment, is basically in the same situation. So we're going to have to see how that turns out for him. But his fight with Jermell Charlo is off.
Yeah, it's Thursday. Yeah, it's I'm not sure what the charges are, but yeah, he was I guess there are charges that have been pending, sex offender charges that have been pending since 2007.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that who are you talking about, Frank?
Carlos Molina.
Yeah. He got picked up in Pinellas County. That is a warrant that was never taken care of out in Vegas, and he has not chosen to move out of Pinellas County yet, so they haven't been able to extradite him.
Well, no, he's in Las Vegas now.
They did extradite him?
Yeah, he's in Clark County Detention Center.
Yeah, because he had chosen not to be extradited. Huh, that's good. Hey, we have Dr. Chris on with us.
How you doing,
hey,
guys?
Dr. Chris.
Good.
Hey. I already had a phone call from Arizona.
Oh, there.
My buddy, we bet on the fight every week.
Uh-huh.
And we went over the Aguro Canelo fight, you know, tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you guys think?
As I was telling Frankie earlier, I think it's going to be a war because both guys get hit. Definitely Angulo more than Canelo, but neither guy's known for their defensive prowess. And so it's going to be very interesting.
It will be because I know that Angulo has a new trainer. I don't know how much you could teach him in a couple of months, you know. I don't know if he can improve that much to beat Canelo. But we'll see. He's got a good chin, and he's a decent body puncher. But he can't be hit.
I think Angulo's got more power than Alvarez. Angulo's got, what, 18 knockouts or something? Alvarez has, like, 30, I think. But I think that it's like Zito was saying earlier. You know, he used the he said that if there was a train 100 miles off, Angulo's not going to get out of the way of it because he's just not fast. Alvarez has got fast hands, very fast hands, but he's coming off of a I'm not sure. And Zito, back, you know, I'd like to hear your take on this. I'm not sure you can really gauge his battle with his fight with Mayweather really fairly because he was up against probably the best pound-for-pound fighter we've seen in 20 years.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, you know, the other guy outclassed him. You know, what are you going to do? Mayweather outclassed this kid had to learn and get a step up in experience. Before he can get any better, he's got to fight a guy like Mayweather and make him realize, geez, I'm not all that good. I've had easy opponents all along. I get in there with a guy that can really box. I got a little bit more to learn. And it depends on what he took from that last fight. You know, was it blow to his ego? I don't know. I don't think it was because I think that he realized, damn, I got a lot to learn. I had the weight on that guy, the size on that guy, and everything, and he tattooed me. So I think he's going to want to do good tonight, and I don't think Angulo can fight any other way but the way he fights. And he should be an easy target for because he cannot move left to right. He can't even cut the ring off very well on a guy. A guy can easily move to his right and hit him right on the side of their jaw with that damn peekaboo style you got. So I know it'll be a war because it's, you know, but I don't think Canelo's going to lose tonight, that's all. And we both agreed, so. But anyway, take it for what it's worth. Nothing. what are you going to do? That's just my opinion. What do you think?
I totally agree with you. And as I was saying earlier, I think Canelo's going to win by a late stoppage. And I think he's going to have to. He's going to have to beat Angulo off of him. Just because Virgil Hunter, I've seen the improvement that Virgil Hunter has given to Angulo in his fight with Arislande Lara. Because he was able to touch on Lara, and that's not an easy thing to do. He was getting Lara with the left hook to the body.
That was a hell of a fight, yeah.
So, and he knocked him down twice. Canelo's a lot more stationary. He uses his feet a lot less. But I think Canelo, he hits really hard to the body. And you have to respect that. I mean, you get hit a few times, you're not going to be willing to just keep charging up in the air, getting hit to the body like that. So I think it'll benefit him to do that.
Canelo's got a much better jab.
Yes.
And he likes to use it. He likes to use his jab, believe it or not. He really, think back, he uses his jab a lot. And he turns the right hand right behind it, but if he throw the hook behind the right hand, he'd be a much better fighter, but he hasn't got that far yet, you know? Some trainer's going to have to make him do that. But all in all, I think it's going to be a good fight. It'll be entertaining. You got, you know, Canelo's chins, has he ever been on the floor?
You know what? He's been hit with some shots. He takes a pretty good shot. I don't think he's been on the floor. He's usually the dominant
boxer. No, I don't remember. I don't remember. I remember going down. You know. But anyway, you know, it'll be interesting. You know, there's a guy on the, I think he's on the undercard, Figueroa. Is he on the undercard tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it coming up?
No, he's on the undercard tonight.
Man, what a terrific fighter he is. He's a good fighter, that kid. He's really got a lot of potential. I don't know the guy he's fighting. I don't know too much about him. But I think Aurora, boy, I watched an exciting fight of his, a rerun. I didn't realize he was that good. So.
Yeah. He's fighting a guy named Thompson. I forget his first name. I remember saying Thompson fight. He's actually a pretty good fighter. This should be a pretty good fight. I'm not going to call it a step up or anything, but it should be a pretty good matchup.
I did too. I was watching a rerun last night of the fight. This guy was 16-0. He was 6'1", 168 pounder, and he came in the ring kind of cocky. This little guy who doesn't fight often, 39 years old. Did you see that fight? In the first round, in about a minute, he knocked him out. A rerun of that fight, I'm trying to think of that guy's name. What a terrific fight. He came out, he held his own ground. This tall kid thought he was going to dance around and walk through it. Boom. He went down face first, got up, and he knocked him down again, and the ref just stopped it. I'm trying to think of the name of that fighter. But what a hell of a fight that was. These 6 and 8 rounders that they're putting on are terrific. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Oh yeah.
What? Just change the subject briefly. What do you think of the Eagles cutting Avant?
Who'd they get? Oh, they cut.
They cut Jason Avant. Yeah, I think they had to. They had to. You know, Riley Cooper really came into his own last year. You know,
that's
in the season where his season. Yeah, Macklin's come back.
Yeah.
But I mean, Riley Cooper was, he was videotaped using a racial slur, one that, you know, was heinous, and he shouldn't have done it. And it could have, you know, he could have turtled up and really gone nowhere, but he came out. He said, you know, I'm a man. I apologize. This isn't me. You know, I said something in the heat of the moment, you know, and they rewarded him. You know, he had a great year, and they rewarded him with a contract. I think you're going
nice
to see, I think this is a 50-50 shot, but, you know, and I know Zito's a big Eagles fan, too. I think you're going to see DeSean Jackson traded on draft day.
Yeah, I know the Eagles aren't happy with him at all.
No.
He's always talking contract talk. And you're absolutely correct. With Riley Cooper's emergence, that kind of put Jason Avant, you know, out of the picture. I mean, and Jason Avant, as he's reliable hands-wise, he will not get you a yard, not a single yard after the catch, but he will catch anything in perimeter.
Yeah,
I like Avant. I mean, he was a clutch player, but they got Macklin back. What are they going to do with all those guys? They got a salary problem and. You know,
I think
another team will pick him up.
I think, Avant, you know, Avant's a class act, too. You know, he didn't come out and go, oh, screw these guys. He came out and says, hey, I understand the reason why I'm being cut. And he will. It's like Zito was saying. He'll catch that ball. He may not, you know, he's not going to turn on the gas and put people in his rear view, not like DeSean Jackson, but I think they're going to trade Jackson just because He is becoming poison in the locker room, and this is a very, very deep class of receivers.
Yeah. They're going to have to accommodate Nick Foles, too. They're going to have to whatever makes him comfortable, the management's going to have to deal with that because he's the future right now.
Yeah.
And you know what? How the hell does Riley Cooper get off him? It seems like when he catches the ball, nobody's around him. How does he get open? I can't figure that out. I mean, he really gets it. I mean, you know, he's caught some tight passes, too, but he really knows how to get open. And I think that's the most impressive thing about him.
He's from Florida. Those people down there don't bathe, so nobody wants to be around them.
Whoa. I heard that. I heard that before, but I haven't been there for a while.
They tell you it's the swamp that smell, but that's just their excuse.
You're smelling the swamp. Yeah.
That's right.
What the hell?
Let's talk about what it smells like when you walk down the aisle. Walk down your hall and you look over and you think your son's dying of purpura and you find out he's got hickeys from his head to his asshole. Let's talk about that.
That Bobby, I can't talk about Bobby.
No, it wasn't Bobby. Or let's talk about when you're sitting having an adult beverage someplace and the chief of the state police comes up and says, "Hey, Frank, you know your son was caught at the track last night doing what? In the back seat with a girl? Oh, were they clothed? No. Oh, did you let him go home? Yeah. Why'd you do that? You want to answer that question, Frank?
We were reading the Bible, and we couldn't find it, so we took our clothes off to see if we could find it.
Yeah.
Somebody
certainly
wasn't
having Abel.
Somebody's got a sore spot. We better go back to talking about boxing. We're getting off the track. Yeah. Holy God.
Yeah.
Well, see, coming up, we got some great fights coming up. Anyway, I enjoy coming. You know, sitting here Saturday night watching. I think that big middleweight, that Russian middleweight, might step up. He looks they mentioned him as a possible opponent for Andre Ward. I think he ought to stay away from that fight. Wait a year. Although it doesn't look like Andre Ward's going to slow down. He's pretty old, Andre Ward.
Late 20s?
Yeah, I don't think he's that late. 20. Or that old.
Yeah, I think he's in his late 20s.
I forgot. Well, what's we call fighting Billy 50, I guess she's a young man. How the hell is I wrote the middleweight from Philly off 10 times, and he keeps making it makes me eat crow. I have to eat crow every time I tell him he's done. He's going to get his rear. He comes up with a great fight. I have no Bernard. I have no idea how the hell he's doing that. I mean, 50's old, guys. Too old to fight.
That's a lot of experience, though. That's a lot of experience.
Hey,
guys, we're taking a hell of a care of him.
We're joined with the new Ray Robinson. Ray, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great. Congratulations on your last win. That's a pretty big win.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah, could you tell our listeners all about it?
Yeah, man. It was a good tough fight. He's 25-0, so we know he was going to definitely come to fight, and he definitely did. The plan was just to outbox him and hit and not get hit. That's the name of the game. And I had to switch up my style. You know, in the beginning, I felt like I was boxing, and then, you know, I felt like round five, he caught me with a good shot at the end and kind of stunned me. And then I say round six, seven, and eight, and I had to stand my ground, and, you know, I switched up my style and for the inside, and actually that was successful for me, so I stayed there, and the last three rounds I just outboxed him again, so, you know, it went as planned.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Did you get a decision? What was the decision?
The decision, I believe it was 111-118. Yeah.
Yeah, it was an unanimous decision for Ray.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
This is the first defense with your belt?
No, actually, I captured a new belt. I got the NABO belt.
Oh, great.
NABO, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Now, Ray, was that your first time fighting a Russian?
No, I fought in Russia before, in the amateurs, and a couple of times, but that was my first time fighting in Russia as a pro, yes.
Now, is there training any different? I mean, would you say that their training regimen is different than, say, someone, you know, from America or Germany or?
I don't know. I know they definitely have different styles. They're more, you know, straightforward, you know, strong, can take a good punch type of fighter. And he was a little different. He moved his head and he tried to shoot in a little bit, but he's basically the type of, you know, Russia guy. They keep his hands up high. But him to be his size, he had like a small torso. So when he put his hands up, like, he covered his body and head. Like, that's my first time actually fighting someone that can actually do that. So he was hard to hit in the beginning. So it was a little different.
If you had to say, you know, what you took away from this bout, what would you say your biggest lesson was from this bout?
Definitely, I feel like I made it harder than I wanted to. I think I could have settled down a little bit more and, you know, sit down on my punches a tad bit. I wish I really would have started out sitting there with him. Because I looked at the fight myself, and I was like, I had so much more success. I had so much more better outcome when I stayed in a pocket. You know, I feel like I got caught when I pulled out straight back, and I know better than that. You know, that's something I should know better. So, I don't know. It's just me starting off to, you know, I feel like I waited a little bit too long to adapt. I know how to adapt, you know, to different fighters. I think I waited like a round or two, a little bit. You know, I feel like I could have jumped on him, and I feel like when I stayed there, I feel like I wore him down a little bit. So I wish I would have did that.
Hey Ray, do you have your sight set on any specific next, any specific title or anything?
Right now I don't. I'm waiting back for my managers, but anything they can give me forward to, you know, my dream, and my dream is to fight a world title, I'm willing to do anything. So I'm waiting to hear back from Champs Management. And once they give me, you know, more details of where to go next and what's the best move, then whatever it is, I'm willing to do it.
Do you have any
so I feel like I captured two big wins. Go ahead, what you saying?
Well, I got you on a... While you're on the phone, the new heavyweight in Wilmington, who's training him? Who's his trainer?
You talking about Mayor Mansour?
Yeah.
You talking about Mayor? He's my old trainer. Moses is training him, and he's from Delaware, I believe, but he trains out of he trained Delaware and Philly, so. Yeah.
Pretty good fight he had against that tall guy that.
The 6'7" guy or something like that?
Yeah, that guy is awful difficult to fight. You know, I had seen him previously against Dante Wilder. Is that his name, Wilder?
Yeah.
And he gave him a good fight. And this guy's not very tall, but he was throwing some damn sledgehammers.
Yeah, Amir, man. He's, yeah. Amir Mansour is actually strong. Yeah.
And how old is he? I don't know if I heard his age right. He's up there in years, isn't he?
Yeah, yep, he's up there with age.
Yeah, I think he's like 42 or 43. He's had a pretty checkered past. Yeah, but he's had a pretty checkered past, and he's been to the Federal Hotel a couple times, and the state and Berry Hill, and you know, he's trying to keep straight now, and he was part of Dave Tiberi's group, but he's gone away from them now.
I wondered who was handling him because
he's a
hot item now,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah,
I'd like to see him fight again. Just see if that was a. You know.
He got a big fight coming up. He's fighting Cunningham.
Stevie Cunningham.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
That poor Cunningham. He had to, everybody he has to fight. That poor guy. They don't give him an easy fight just to make him, you know, so you go home without a headache. You know? That poor guy, they always toss him in with giants, you know?
Yeah.
Or somebody
yeah.
that just won a big fight. And he's really not that big to be handling a heavyweight of that caliber. But he gets in there. He gives him hell. I saw him fight that big, tall guy. What the hell is his name? Big, tall, white guy, about 6 foot six, 260 or so. What the hell is his name?
I can't think of his name. I know. You know this, the last guy, Cunningham Fort, right?
Cunningham Fort, yeah. He actually gave him a good fight, but
Tyson Fury.
I mean, the guy.
Was Tyson
Fury?
Fury,
yeah. Fury. Yeah. Tyson Fury. What a name.
Yeah.
No, what a name. Tyson Fury.
And Stevie was out boxing Fury until Fury kind of decided to manhandle him. And
yeah.
Stevie was just too small for that. And it's going to be a good fight with him in the mirror. I just think when it's time for Amir,
yeah,
I think he's got a better
chance against Amir. He can box him a little bit and move around. He'll be a little faster. And the other guy was just too damn big for him, you know?
Yeah.
I think Tyson Fury is headed. Sooner or later, he's got to fight a step up and fight somebody that can, you know, somebody that can fight. He wants to see what he's got.
Yeah,
I mean he's undisciplined as hell. That's for sure.
Yeah,
we'll
he's
still
young though. He's still young and he could take he could get
yeah.
a little bit more experience.
Yeah, he's gonna go find get three or four, you know, easier fights and so. And every time he makes a mistake, I think Cunningham knocked him down, didn't he?
Yeah.
Knocked
yeah,
him down once.
Him
I think he did.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Well, how'd the card go? They draw a good crowd that night down Delaware when you fought, right?
Yeah, they did. I believe they sold it out. So it was really
great.
A really
great.
Good crowd.
Great.
Yep.
That's great. What
is
do you
Frankie
got coming
still?
Up?
Yeah.
Tom, what happened?
What
do
you
what
have
do you coming,
have coming
up?
Right now, I'm not sure. I'm just waiting. I'm staying in shape. Waiting for my managers to give me a call, let me know what's next, or, you know, someone else ring my phone, and I'll be ready.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
That'd be nice.
How's the gym coming, Ray?
You're right at that point now. You got to step up, get a good 10-rounder in there somewhere. You know?
Who, me?
How's Joey Tiberi doing? Is he coming on a show tonight, Frank?
Yeah, he's coming on. Yeah, he's coming on in 5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he knocked his guy out.
Oh, he did. That's good. Nice,
Ray, how's
nice
the gym
young
coming?
Man. Nice kid.
Ray, how's your gym coming?
Good. It's really good. Coming along. Like I told you guys, I celebrated my first year in January, so it's getting more busy. The winter's starting to break, so people was rushing in to get them beach bodies. So you know, it's going to start picking up even more. So it's great.
Why don't you tell the tell our listeners where it's located and everything you have available?
All right, it is, it's in 85 East Street Road in Cicero, PA.
Okay.
So, yep.
So
you can always
yeah.
come down. The first class is always free.
There you go. And what do you have available there?
Boxing, cardio, weights. So whatever you want to try out, if you come to me and let me know that you're trying to get stronger, faster, or you want to learn boxing, anything like that, come on down and I'll teach you.
So if they came up through Roosevelt Boulevard and came across, what would that be, Red Lion Road, they would come across the street?
Yeah, they can go
street?
Straight down, yeah. Go straight
yeah.
down, they run right into Street Road or Busselton.
Right, and they can just pick up a donut and coffee at the Street Road Diner there and bring it down to you. So you'd have you'd get paid for something for your first their freebie.
There we go. That's what I like to hear. Yep. So it's 85 East Street Road. The gym is called N. Greg Long's Gym. My gym is in BoxFit, so it's right in the back. So you can come see me and get a great workout in and feel good for the rest of the day.
Good. And your partner does physical fitness too?
Yep, she went to school for fitness, and she's my strength and conditioner, and she's awesome at what she does. And, she does that. I do the boxing, and we put it together. It's a great workout.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any Golden Gloves working with you?
No, actually, I got some young kids that I'm going to get my gym registered. I want to get them into some fights and stuff. They doing sparring now and all that good stuff. So I got some young kids that, you know, the amateurs should watch out for. So it's going to be awesome to get them their first fights and stuff like that. So it's going to be cool.
How about when you spar? Is there anybody that we would know? Like, are you dealing with Eddie Chambers or any of those guys up there?
No, actually, I was sparring Pooh. That's Derek Ennis. I was sparring him. He was getting me ready for my fight. He actually got a fight actually next Friday, I believe. I'm not sure where, but we're just helping each other out, and he actually helped me out a lot through this training camp. So I feel like him and the other guy is the same size, and he was, like, totally way faster than the kid I just fought. So, It was a good sparring, and I knew I was in shape, and I knew I was going to do awesome at this fight.
And when,
when you don't have a fight, do you still spar every now and again just to keep sharp, or you wait till you have a fight coming up and then you spar?
No, I do. I do spar because sometimes your timing can leave you, so I try to stay sparring here and there. So I can keep up with my time and things like that and my reflexes and stuff like that, too. Because you can be in shape. Being in shape and being in boxing shape is totally different. Because I have people that are like, oh, I run marathons and I do this and I do that. They put a pair of gloves on and they can't last two rounds. You know, it's just a whole different ball game when, you know, boxing and just regular shape.
You know, the hardest thing when you're an amateur and you're moving up and you're starting to spar with guys in six rounds is the tension you put yourself under. I always, George Foreman, he beat himself. He used to get worn out and get so arm weary. He used to have tremendous tension in his arms, and that's the hardest thing when you get a pro fight lined up, or you got a big bout coming up some type. You focus better. It's hard to keep focus when you don't have anything coming up. I mean, you can stay in general good condition, but, you know, you really, the tune up and really get yourself together, you have to have a goal or a fight coming up, because it's pretty damn tough to stay on top of that and go through that grind every day of your life when you don't have a fight, you know? So
yeah, I agree.
Maybe just train. You know, it's hard.
Training and boxing training is a whole different thing, as you said. When you have a fight coming up, you know, it's a different switch that come on that, like an animal mode. Like, and you can't be in animal mode, you know, for 4 months when you don't have a fight coming up. This is ridiculous. You'll burn yourself out. So, you know, you want to stay in somewhat of a shape. You want to stay near your weight and things like that. And then when that phone call comes, then you turn that switch on and you make sure you don't burn yourself out and be ready to go when you're supposed to.
They get weak taking it off. It makes your weak lose that much weight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just
staying disciplined. Just got to stay disciplined a little bit. You can have your mess-up days and, you know, your cheat days a day or two, but it also depends on how bad you want it, you know? I think I told y'all once before, man, Floyd Mayweather and Bernard Hopkins and I'm pretty sure some other guys out there, they do the same thing, and they're very successful, and I'm pretty sure that they don't have to wait for a phone call like I do. I'm waiting for a phone call. So if they, you know, they're at where they want. You know, they got that vacation life almost, you know, and they make the phone calls. They don't got to wait by the phone like I do. So if they can discipline themselves and do it, I know darn well I can, you know, and I'm trying to get where they at, well, half of where they at. So it all depends on, like, you know, how hungry you are. And I think every fighter, sometimes it depends, every fighter had that wake-up moment. It's like, all right, it's time for you. Like, you got to figure yourself out. Like, you know what I mean? I ain't going to keep coming in here, training every day, getting punched on and this and that for nothing. I got to start, you know, getting something out of this. And, you know, at the end of the day, my career or whatever, I want to sit back, you know, if I made it and not make it, like, you know, I actually tried. You know, I bust my butt. I know for a fact I gave 2 to 3 hard years of my life of sacrificing, of dedication and doing what I'm supposed to do, and I would be, you know, I'd be very happy, you know what I mean? So you want that type of feeling in your heart that you can, you know what I mean, sleep at night and be like, I actually, you know, I did my thing. I worked hard to get where I'm at. And you'll appreciate it more.
Hey, Chris, we're joined tonight by a friend of yours, Mr. Joey Tabiri. Hey, Joey, how are you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, what's up, Joey?
What's up, Ray?
You can hear that's the new Ray Robinson. And the top.
Congratulations on your win, Joey.
Thank you.
Yeah. You want to tell us about it, Joe?
Stopped him in the 4th round. It was my first 6. Actually, a lot of my family and friends missed it because the first couple fights went by really quick. Mm-hmm. But, it was a good show. Fight. I think it was sold out. By the time I got done, it was packed, and I was actually able to watch. The only fight I was really able to watch was a little bit of Ray's. But, everything, the whole show turned out great. Everything went as planned. Camp was well. And, from my end, I got a lot of good positive feedback out of it. And, everything went as planned.
Do you have anything lined up yet?
They're talking about May, so we got got a couple months layoff. So
Ray's gonna call out Floyd Mayweather right here on the Mayweather on the show here tonight.
Oh, there we go. You make my year. Me and my dude would appreciate that.
I had to make a life.
Yeah. So Joe, I understand you knocked a guy out in the 4th, huh?
Yeah, that's correct.
Great.
Well,
he stayed
down in the 4th. He kept getting up in the first couple rounds. I knocked him down a couple times in the 2nd round and 3rd round, but he just kept getting up, but it was stopped in the 4th.
Yeah.
Mac, can you tell us, did you do anything different as far as power or speed, anything to get those type of results, or was it just you feel the guy you were fighting?
Well, the first couple of times, like I mean, he was taking shots pretty much from the first round on, but he just wasn't. I didn't want to over jump on him and overexert myself and out punch myself, so I kind of just laid back and just once, you know what I mean. I saw after the first round he wasn't, you know what I mean. He kept bringing his head because he was a taller guy. He kept putting his head right in front of me, so I mean, I was head hunting a little bit, but I was able to get my shots off good, and when I had to hit him with some power shots, I was able to throw at least 2 to 3 at a time to where he had to, you know what I mean, if he was recovering, he was out of the way, and he was running more, and I was just walking, and I was dictating the pace, so I mean, everything just kind of played into being relaxed from the bell and just fighting our fight.
Mm-hmm. So you walked
now,
now
you were moving up, have you changed your training at all?
Well, That was my first 6, and it didn't go 6. So, just staying on top, doing my strength and conditioning. Like now, like I said, the next fight's not till May, so we got a couple months layoff. So now it's just going to be a matter of kind of getting like a schedule just to keep in shape, and you know what I mean, just not overdo. I heard Ray kind of call it the end of Ray's conversation, not burning yourself out. So pretty much exactly what he said. Just a couple days on the road, a couple days in the gym, and just. I mean, there's a couple of amateurs that are in the gym, and they got golden gloves, so I go in there and give them some work to help them out. So, I mean, other than that, just you know, keep a good schedule together.
Is there a new gym I heard open up in Delaware?
I'm not even sure.
Because Chris was just talking about Mansoor. Is he working at the same gym you are?
No, I don't know where he's at. I think he's in Philly, actually. I thought he was at Johann's, but I'm not sure.
Ray, do you know anything about that?
Yeah, he do. I know when I used to first come up there, he was up there in Delaware, but
He is. He trains out of Joe Hands with Mo.
Okay.
Joey, you got to tell everybody if your whole family got there on time, they'd fill the stadium. Tell everybody you got 14 uncles, don't you?
Yeah, but it doesn't really work like that. They all don't talk, so it's only hit or miss. I'm talking about like my sisters. My sisters and them all missed it. Not my uh-huh. extended family, just my immediate family.
Yeah, I know. Well, I went to Mario's wedding, and they took a family picture. It looked like a class reunion. It was 15 of them up there.
I bet.
You know, that was a comical night because Davey got up and imitated Elvis Presley. He swore he was the best entertainer in the world when he got up. If they had a long cane, they'd have dragged him off the stage. But he kept singing, man. He was funny. That's the last time I saw the whole gang together. Is everybody healthy in the family? Everybody all right?
As far as I know, I mean, like I said, I just try to talk to the cousins because, you know, I mean, all the stuff that goes on with the uncles and aunts. I mean, it's hit or miss on what uncles and aunts I talk to. So I just, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Roll with it.
Joe, you come from a boxing family, including your father. Can you bring us up to date on your dad?
Yeah, he's I mean, obviously he's my trainer. We had, you know, the last couple of fights we had kind of like a little miscommunication just because it's kind of hard with your dad being your trainer and then him being your dad, you know what I mean? It's just sometimes we just butt head and we don't see eye to eye. But, I mean, for this fight, everything was I just let him run the show. I did what I had to do, you know what I mean? And when we were in the gym, it was all I let him take control of it. So, I mean, I like to kind of like when I go run, I do that on my own. I do my strength and conditioning. Like, I like to have my time. And then when, you know what I mean, when we need to be together, it's, you know what I mean, just let him. I mean, he's been there. He's taught me everything I know, and you know what I mean. So he leads me there. So, but he's healthy. He's, you know, he's running around. My mom's got him busy. So, you know how that goes.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, we've tried to get.
You know, your father had a lot of good moves. I was down at St. Anthony's when your dad was still an amateur. And I watched him go into the pros and go through his whole career. And Carmen Graziano trained him. And Carmen taught him a lot of good things. And he fought some damn tough fighters. And there was one streak he had. He beat three undefeated fighters in a row. There was a guy in Philadelphia that thought he was unbeatable, was going to be the next middleweight champ, Moon Mullins, and your dad knocked him out. Then he knocked out a guy from New England who was the champion up there. He was like 22-0. And then your father had a good career, and he knows a lot. I imagine, you know, no matter who trains you, you're going to have tension between somebody telling you what you should do and then you got your own opinion sometimes on what you think you should do. But your dad knows what he's doing. He fought some great fighters. And I saw almost all his fights. And he knew what he was doing. Carmen Graziano, who was his trainer, had several world champions. Joey Girardello, Wallace Bud Smith. He had the light heavyweight champion, who beat Victor Galindez. So your dad knows an awful lot. He could, what he knows could take you as far as you have to go. So be a little patient with your father. I train my own kids, and every once in a while, they wake up on the wrong side of the bed and be a little irritable. But that's normal, Joey. That's normal. He's very concerned about you. I remember when you were trying to play football at high school. We had a lot of talks about that, you know?
Yeah.
But your dad wants the best for you, so be patient with him. Tell him I said hello. Christ, I haven't talked to him in a long time. And your mom okay, Joey?
Yeah, everybody's good. I told him that you guys are trying to get him on. He just never answers his phone. He's all over the place, that phone, trying to figure it out. So,
How's Uncle Mario doing?
What's that?
Yeah. How's Uncle Mario doing?
I don't talk to him.
He's a tough customer, man. Well, he was one hell of a fighter. Woo!
Yeah.
You know, that's funny.
Joey, when you do your word work, where do you do your word work?
I got a couple different places. I like to mix it up. I like to mix it up. I have my park in my neighborhood. That's like a quarter mile track. I just do that for light work, but I really do that for mainly sprints because they got like there's a big drag and it has like trees spread out. So like I like to do like different intervals on my sprints. Then I run on a back road that's about a 3 mile run, and then I go run at a local park that's about like 2.5 miles. It's just, I like to mix it up, and I only just run the same spot.
That's great. Have to talk to...
With this cool weather, it's hard to get out and outside do any real work.
Oh, it's crazy. For this fight, it was like the days that were, there wasn't anything on the ground, you had to run. Even, it doesn't matter how cold it was. I mean, every other day it was snowing there, I mean, you really had to take advantage of the nice days, or the nicer days.
Ray, where do you work when you're doing road work?
I just run up the street road.
Mm-hmm.
So I run down up here, and then, like I said, I got that, my own gym, so I just run there when they get really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Z and I were talking to a friend of ours, Danny Batchelder, who has had a terrific career, and he fell off the charts, and now he's back on, and he's building his career again. And he was saying that now he's up in the Catskills. There was like 3 weeks, two or three weeks in a row when the weather was like 30 below. And what he said that what they were doing was he was running in place and then doing burpees, 10 burpees, and then running in place. And he said that's how his trainer was getting him to do it.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Do you guys do anything like that, Joe or Ray?
Yeah, I do. I do that. That's a lot of conditioning. Like same thing with strength and conditioning. I do a lot of different ways to run. And you can do sets of you run for a mile, then you get off and do 15 of everything, like 15 burpees, jumping jacks, push ups, and tuck jumps, and then you get back on and run another mile, things like that. Yeah, so that's a really good conditioning, and it's hard for you to catch your wind, so it'd be good for you to get in shape like that too.
How about you, Joe?
I don't actually do it like that. I've never actually done nothing like that. I just usually do like I'll do separate days where my road works are all separate, and I like to push myself harder in like my strength and conditioning, and then I also wear I got a Evolution mask. I like to try to wear that with my mouthpiece under there. That really, like I'll just do like hit the pads and the bag and all that stuff. And sometimes I'll wear it. I've been wearing it lately with my sprints.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it doesn't really give you much air to breathe. If you catch your air with that, then that's you're definitely in some pretty good shape. So that's really what I do. I haven't done nothing like that what Ray was saying yet. Anyway.
Now Joe, let's look at Wilmington being almost the number one. Crime capital of the world, according to the Wilmington Journal, and you're running with a mask. You have cops all over the road for running after you.
No, I don't run around Wilmington. That's not really. I'd have to run. Yeah, you can't really run in Wilmington.
No,
that's not a place to run.
You can run if somebody's
you
coming
can run,
after you.
You
can run.
Running,
yeah.
You better keep running. I used to take a boxing team over to the Delaware County Prison. I used to take the Upper Darby team to put shoes on in the prison. And there was about 7 bouts one night, and I said to the other trainer for the team, I said, "You guys aren't in shape." I said, "They're never in shape." He says, "Well, where the hell are you going to run? Run around a cell?" How the hell are you getting in shape? You can't run outside. I'm running the hell away. Well, I thought that was. I never gave him a thought. They don't forget. We get in a jail. They're not outside. So
yeah.
But you can find a way. I mean, stripping rope and all that, and doing a lot of rounds of rope. You can get yourself in pretty good shape. Mm-hmm. Now, which when you're fighting them 10 rounders, that you really have to run.
Right.
They posted Klitsch. Go ahead.
Now, a guy like James Toney, he No, he claimed he never did any type of road work. He got in shape for the fight by fighting. So what do you think about that?
A lot of fighters hate road work.
I can tell you
Joey
for sure.
Joey Giardello hated road work. Yeah, they put a gun to his head to get him to run. I was called the best four-round fighter in the world. Four rounds, nobody in the world could beat Joey Giardello. After that, everybody had a chance because he never got in shape. But he was a tremendous chin and a tremendous fighter, but he just hated to run. He didn't like it. And a lot of fighters are that way. Klitschko, Big Klitschko does very little running. I guess there's a reason. I guess heavyweight's that big wears him the hell out. I don't know.
Yeah, I heard that before, too, that fighters don't like to run. They say, I heard this before, they say, why do a fighter have to, you know, get in shape by running? Do a runner, when he got to get in shape, do he box?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. They don't like running, I guess.
Yeah.
I know when all the big fights used to, in the 50s, when they would occur, a guy would get a title bout in the winter, they all go to Florida and train so they could avoid getting the cold, and they'd all show up in the ring, all tanned up and ready to go. You know, they went down to Chris Dundee's gym in Miami. Angelo's brother had a beautiful gym down in Miami. That's where everybody went in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Sonny Liston trained, Carmen Basilio. Anybody that was anybody in a fight game used to go to Miami and train at Dundee's gym. But, you know, it's so nice. They could do their road work. They would get in tremendous condition down there. Run the beach. They used to run the beach all the time. So.
Well, guys, we're just about up against our time here. And I want to, Joey, I really appreciate you coming on and taking the time, especially while you're driving. Ray, I really appreciate your coming on. It's fantastic to have young stock like you out there representing the sport, and we know that both of you are going to do really well because you're both well-spoken and definitely being well-trained, and we appreciate you giving us our time on a Saturday night like this, and you're welcome to come back any time you want.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, guys, I'll see you.
Guys.
Take it easy. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Chris, well, thank you again for coming on. And Chris is already gone. Okay, Z, you want to lead us out?
Yeah, this has definitely been a fun hour. And I want to thank our guests. I want to thank Frankie and you, Butch. I want to thank Dr. Chris, Ray Robinson, and Joy Tabir.
Yep.
These shows are definitely in memory of Bob, and if anyone wants to hear any fighting words, please do call. What?
That's right. Thank you. Well, Zeke, thanks again for everything. I really appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, if you're in line, if they're in line to get a cup of coffee, and you are too, if you could buy one for them, especially our service people, please think about doing that. If there is a police or fire officer in line, just a thank you for what they do means a world of good to everybody out there. These programs are also dedicated to those who've lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Kellcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffy Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longville Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PD, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, and Deputy Jonathan Scott Payne, of the Orange County Sheriff's Department. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, sometime will be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields. And may the, may the sun shine on your face. And may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hands. Good night.
Shemalek Mahilama Shemahilama Sona Shene Vorat Fed Hakuig again Mahilama
Shemalek Mahilama
Bob. We miss you. Good night, Frank. We love you.
Good night.